Hello and welcome to the podcast of Vineyard Church here in Maryville, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week, as well as our conversations episodes, which include interviews, special announcements, and in-depth teaching. You can visit vineyardchurch.us to learn more about us or to access the audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
Amen, amen. I love when you see young people just feeling the love of Christ going to a mission trip overseas. That's just amazing. A lot of people don't get to do that. So it's just amazing to see the love of Jesus and how it impacted so many young lives, especially in this time right now. What's up? Hey, before we get into it, I want to pray, say a quick prayer. There's a lot been going on in the world, and here recently, there's a lot been going on in our community. It's no secret. It's just a lot been going on from here to Knoxville, and it's a lot of stuff that's been going on that, honestly, I haven't seen in this short amount of time in my short 40 years that I've been here. And it's no secret, and I feel like this is a time where the real church is supposed to stand up, where the real church is supposed to pray, where the real church is supposed to step up, step out, and make an impact. So I want to pray real quick, and then we'll dive into it. Jesus, we thank you. We love you. Yes, a lot that's been going on right now, God, and I just pray that you just move right now in the midst of our community, Father. There's been a lot of issues going on, and not just the issues that we see on the news, not just the issues that we see way out in public, but a lot of us are dealing with things at home, Father, and I just pray that you just intervene right now in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of things that's going on, Father, and I just pray that you equipped us to get ready to step up and step out, Father, because the only way that we can conquer these demons and the things that are going on in this world is the real church steps up, steps out, prays, and shows the love of Jesus, because we just all need more Jesus at the end of the day. So I just pray for our community. I pray for our young people. I pray for our older people. I pray for the world, but it's just different when things start to hit home and things start to hit close to your house and close to your community that you've never seen before. So I'm asking that you just cover this community, cover this family, cover this church, cover everything around us, Father, that we open up our eyes and we're able to understand that the battle is fought in the spiritual realm and that it's time for us to pray, fast, and seek you so we can make this community a better place. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I'm not going to hold you long because I don't preach long. So if you got to use a bathroom, by the time you get back, we're probably up here praying. So let's stand real quick for the reading of the word. And I'm going to be reading out of Romans 8. And what I'm going to do is we're going to read verses 5 through, I think I read through verse 9, 8 or 9. I think it's 9, okay? And then we'll go from there. I'm reading out of the New International Version. Oh, I can read it up here? Okay. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm, say realm, of the flesh cannot please God. Give me one more. You, however, are not in the realm, say realm, of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Let's do our prayer real quick. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you alone are King. Give us wisdom, courage, and kindness that we might bear your image well. Unify us in heart, soul, and purpose that the world might know your love. Make us your hands, generous and compassionate. Make us your feet, valiant and steady. The service to you and all we've created. Give us love greater than fear. Onward for your kingdom, we're declaring your worth, finding our worth in you, and joining you in renewal of all things. Amen. So, if I had a title for this, it would be, What Realm Are You In? What realm are you in? Now, I was struggling with this sermon, and when I was trying to put it together, I was asking God constantly, like, give me some confirmation that this is what you want me to speak about, because honestly, I was like, I don't know about this. And last Sunday, Aaron gave me some confirmation through his service. Today, what Chris talked about being in the darkness, he gave me some more confirmation. But then as I was praying last night, I felt the Spirit tell me that this is one of those sermons that the devil doesn't want you to hear at all, period. Now, he don't want to hear any sermon, don't want you to hear anything, but that was what the Spirit told you. He's like, listen, the enemy doesn't want anybody to hear this. That's why you're struggling back and forth. So get through it and suck it up. So that's basically what I got. So when I was reading these scriptures, right, the word flesh just popped out to me. And I was like, man, when you talk about flesh, darkness, death, I don't really want to go there all the way, hell, fire, and brimstone, but we're going there today. So when I was looking at the word flesh, I dug into it, and it's basically your human nature. It's carnal-minded is what it is. Check this out. So when you're living according to the flesh, your human nature, your so-called normal, you're being governed or led by something that is hostile to God or hatred towards God. I didn't say it. The word said it. Okay? When you're being governed or led by that, that's what you're being governed by. God didn't call us just to live this normal life. God didn't call us to submit to the will of a spirit that will keep you in bondage to the point where you cannot say yes to Jesus. When your mind is set on things that are not of God, you cannot submit to what God is telling you to do. You cannot even hear what God is telling you to do when you're being governed by something that's hostile to God, something that hates God. You cannot even hear God's voice. That's why repentance is so important. Because when you're in your flesh, you're in a realm, you slip into a realm, check this out, where God is hated. Think about this. You're stepping into a realm hostile to God. It's something, you're stepping into something where God is hated. Verse 6 tells us again, the mind governed by the flesh is death. So you're being governed by your flesh means you're being led to death. Think about this. If you're being governed by something that's not the Spirit of God, you're being governed by something that's hostile to God and it's leading you to death. Okay? I didn't say it, not my opinion. It's in the Word. Okay? When death occurs, think about this, something has to change. The body changes, it decomposes, it stinks. You don't even look like the same person when death occurs. You just don't. When there's no life, there's death. You don't look the same. Something has to happen when death occurs. So many people look different simply because they're living a life according to their flesh and its desires, and the flesh desires death. When you're living according to your flesh, you're stepping into a realm, okay? You're stepping into a realm. So it's over here. See that? I'm going to step over here. Stepping into a realm. One of the definitions of realm is kingdom or dominion. It's one of the definitions of it. A kingdom has a ruler. So if you're stepping into this realm that cannot please God, that's hostile to God, you're stepping into a realm that desires death. That's what you're stepping into. So if you're stepping into this kingdom, into this dominion, that means there has to be a ruler. So who do you think that ruler is when you're living according and governed by your flesh? The enemy, the devil. He's the ruler of that place, that realm that you're stepping into. Everything starts in this supernatural realm. So when your mind is being governed by your flesh, you're stepping into something that's hostile to God. You're stepping into something that's hatred to God. You're stepping into something that hates God. You're stepping into death. You're stepping into it. And in that kingdom, in that dominion, it has a ruler. And in that ruler is Satan. So you're stepping in something that wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Think about that. So, then I got to reading a little bit more. I know I gave you a little bit of, like, wow, that's crazy. But it's in the Bible. Colossians 1:13, check this out. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That's Colossians 1:13. So listen, the battle has been fought on our behalf. The battle has been won on our behalf, right? So if the battle has been fought and the battle has been won, why would we want to live a life of defeat? Why would we want to live a life that's meant to blind us from the promises of God and keep us in such a bondage to where people don't even recognize us? Think about that. You live in a life governed by your flesh. You live in a life governed by something that's death, something that's hostile to God, and people won't even recognize you. You live in a life of being a slave to sin, and you don't even realize it. But check this out. When I was looking, trying to find some confirmation on speaking this today, I was reminded the last couple Sundays, especially last Sunday, where Aaron was speaking on the prodigal son, right? And as he was speaking on the prodigal son, it was some things that popped out to me. Bam, they popped out to me last Sunday, so I had to write them down. The prodigal son, check this out, was willing to eat with the pigs, being a pig pen. But watch this. This is an amen moment here coming up. After living a life governed by the flesh, think about this. After living a life entertaining the lies of Satan, this is in the scriptures now, Luke 15 and 17 tells us that when he came to his senses, say senses, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death?" He realized the spirit that was governing him and didn't love him, and that spirit had him in a pig's pen. But when he came to his senses, listen to what I'm telling you. When he came to his senses, the spirit of the living God stepped in, and what did he do? He went back home. He comes to his senses, he goes back home. And here's the thing. Verse 24 of Luke, he says, this is the Father speaking. "For this son of mine was what? Dead. And now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Now we can celebrate." The Father realized while he was living according to his flesh, while he was living a life that was hostile to God, while he stepped into this other realm where God is hated, he realized when his son came back, his son was alive again. He could see it in his face. He could see it in his demeanor when he was coming back home, that his son had came to his senses, and he said, "It's time to what? Celebrate, because my son was once dead and now he's alive." Check this out. Verse 6 also tells us that the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. That's what it says, life and peace. Now, if we go down to verse in Romans 8, we go down to verse 12. Is verse 12 up there? I don't have an iPad. It's taking me a while to flip. Okay. It's up there. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation." Say obligation. "But it's not to live according to the flesh." Check this out. Obligation, I dug into that word. It's sinner, debtor, or transgressor against God. So why are we obligated, right? Because Christ defeated the grave, that's why. And he put the weight of our sins on his shoulders. Check this out. We were transgressors against God. We were transgressors against Jesus, and he still died for our sins and defeated death on our behalf. That's why we are obligated. That's why. If somebody dies for you in here right now, you're going to feel like you have an obligation to take care of their family, to take care of things that they've done because they simply died for you. But how much more should we be obligated when somebody died for us, defeated hell, Satan, and the grave, and came back? We obligated. Check this out. Not only did Jesus die and defeat death and rise, he wants to use my body, check this out, as a dwelling place for the spirit of the living God. I'm organized chaos over here. Ephesians 2:22 says, and in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his spirit. So you telling me that Jesus died, he rose, he defeated death in the grave, and not only did he do that, he wants to dwell within me. He wants to guide me. He wants to nurture me. He wants to walk with me. He wants to talk with me. When I get up at 2 a.m, he wants me to, I can speak to him. Before I go to bed at night, I can speak with him. When I'm driving to work in the morning, I can speak with him because he wants to dwell within me. It's not just about being in this building. When we walk out this building, he said, I want to be in you so you can lead other people. He wants to walk, talk, cry with me. That's the love of Jesus. It blows my mind. It blows my mind how much the love of Christ loves me, that the fact that he can defeat death, that he can nail my sins on his shoulders, and he wants to even walk with me, even in the midst when I want to reject him, he still stays right there with me. Think about that. No matter how deep you get into a realm that hates God, the love of God will always accept you back. Think about that. No matter how deep you may get, the love will always accept you back. You might be in a place where you feel like you stepped into a realm of darkness. You might be there right now. You might know somebody that's there right now. But watch this. This is scripture. This is the living word of God. Listen what this word says. Verse 11, Romans 8 and 11 says, and the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Oh, hallelujah. So you telling me the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living within me? That made me want to do a backflip off this stage. If you haven't repented, listen to me. Today is your day. If you're feeling confused, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So today is your day to accept Jesus and step out of that realm of darkness into a realm of love, into a realm of freedom, into a realm of peace, into a realm of joy, into a realm of happiness. You can step right into it. Check this out. There's a party that can't start till you get there. It can't start till you get there. Once you accept Jesus, not only is there a party in heaven, but you're able to go back to somebody who was in that dark place and speak to them and be able to pull them out. There's a party that's waiting on you. Check this out. The table has been set. Your party hat is sitting there. The angels are ready. The trumpets are ready to blow. But that party ain't going to start till you get there. It's a party just for you. You could be in a situation right now. Your situation right now, by stepping out of a dark place, could be the spark that starts a revival here in good old Mayberry, Merleville, Tennessee. You could be that spark. Just because you could be that spark that goes back. Because when you go back to that dark place, when you're over here and you're in this dark place and you finally come to your senses, the prodigal son came to his senses. When you come to your senses, you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're going to look different. Remember, when you're living a life that's leading you to death, something has to change. But when you step out of death to life, something also has to change to come this way. So now everybody sees you differently. Everybody looks at you differently. Everybody wants a little bit of what you got. And here's the thing about the darkness. No matter how far you think you may get in the dark, the light is right there behind you. Repentance is so important because when you accept that love and you turn around, light is right here. Jesus is right here. All you got to do is turn around because that love of Jesus will follow you no matter how far in the darkness that you get. And you turn around, you getting that light and you getting that freedom. And then your eyes are open. Your ears are open. Jesus said, those who have ears, let him hear. But you can hear it when you're in that spiritual realm. Here's the thing. The enemy wants to keep you in such a dark place that you can't hear God. The enemy wants to keep you in this dark place where God is hated, where death is, where chaos is, where confusion is, where hate and all this calamity, all this is going on. If he can keep that all around you, he can keep you from trying to hear the word of God. But here's the thing. The love of God will trump all of that. When a prodigal son came to his senses, he woke up. He heard God's voice. And there's no devil in hell that could keep him back from going back to his father. And when he went back to his father seen him. He said, my son, I see you. He was dead. But now he's alive again. Get the fatty calf. Let's celebrate. When we accept Jesus, when we step out of a life that's governed by darkness, that's governed by hate, that's governed by things that are hostile to God, everything changes. We come to our senses. There's a party in heaven. Anytime, think about it. If somebody right now has somebody in their family right now that they know right now that's living a life that's hostile to God, and if they accept Jesus, we have a party. Why? Because we understand that they were once dead, but now they're alive. It's always a celebration. And here's the thing about this. Here's the thing what I love about Jesus. It's the fact that he's always been with us, walking with us right there the whole time. He's knocking. I'm knocking at the door. Open it up. I'm right here. But when you're living in a place that's hostile to God, it seems like you can't hear his voice. Check this out. I was living in a place that was hostile to God. I was living in a place that hated God. I was living in a place that wanted me dead. Part of my testimony is I was sitting in the club and I was sitting there and I smelled, and all of a sudden I could smell the smoke. All of a sudden, because when you're in the atmosphere, you don't smell that stuff. You don't know what's going on because you're living in it. All of a sudden I could smell the smoke that I was in. I could see the demons that was floating around. I was in the club. I remember it like it was yesterday. But guess what? When I came to my senses, I walked out. As soon as I walked out, Jesus was right there with open arms. You can ask my wife about it. I came home and I looked at her. I said, well, we weren't married at the time. But I said, we got to get married. I ain't lying. She looked at me. And she said, what do you mean we got to get married? I said, God told me we got to get married. She said, now you talking to God? I said, I don't know if I'm talking to God, but he's talking to me. We got married. 16 years later, we still married. But here's the thing. I was in this place where the enemy wanted me dead. The prodigal son was in this place where the enemy wanted him dead. He squandered all his father's money. But when he came to his senses, he knew where his help came from. When he came to his senses, he knew where to go back to. When he came to his senses, he didn't have to go far to go back to his father. And here's the thing, when you change, the father sees you from far off. And he's already celebrating when you take that first step back. He's already got the party place for you. He's already got the fatty calf ready to cut for you. He's already got the table set for you. He's already got all the people invited. He's got the angels invited. He's got the music ready to play. He's got it all mapped out for you. There's no darkness. There's no devil. There's nothing that can keep you from the love of Jesus. Only thing that's keeping you is you turning around. Some of us are in a dirty pond right now and don't realize it's a beautiful blue ocean right outside of it. And we stay in this dirty pond and we say, the world is so crazy. Woe is me. God don't love me. Oh, this is crazy going on. Why am I feeling this anxiety? Why am I feeling so depressed? Why am I feeling all of these things? Why am I being so down on myself? It's because you're in a dark place right now. You're in a pond. Ponds get dirty. Ponds stink sometimes. The devil's putting lies in your head. The lies that he's putting in your head lead to death. The lies that he put in your head are hostile to God. The lies that he put in your head are not for you. But if you just turn around and you see that freedom, and you see that love, and you see that peace, and you see it, when your eyes are open and your ears are open, there's nothing that Satan can do to stop it. When you come to your senses, there's nothing that Satan can do to stop it. Here's the thing about this. I'm going to read these scriptures. I want to read these scriptures right here because a lot of times I believe, like when I read the Bible, there's like different ways I like to read it. I like to read it from like the outside looking in. Then I like to read it like I'm in the place from the inside out. Then I like to come around the side and I like to read it a little bit. Then I like to come around the other side and I like to read it a little. But then I realize I start confusing myself. So then I'm like, God, here's the deal. This is how I want to read the Bible. I want it like a Dr. Seuss book. Just make it easy to me because sometimes I just get too far. So when I was reading this, I'm going to read these verses to you. I'm going to start at verse 5. And I want you to really just, I want you to take off your too smart hats. And I want you to just hear the word of God, what he's saying right here. How simple this is. For those living according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in according with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But a but in there, it's not to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit, if you receive, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Simple, But we got to make the choice. Jesus loves us so much that the weight of our sins were placed on him. The weight of our sins were forced on the crown of thorns on him. The weight of our sins were pierced in his feet and nailed in his hands. The weight of our sins were pierced in his side. Just so we could have a choice to not be governed by something that's hostile to God. And the enemy knows that. So he tries to cloud our minds. He tries to cloud our judgment. He tries to keep us in this dark place that's hatred towards God. And here's the thing. When you step out into that realm and you step back into a realm of freedom and a realm of joy and a realm of peace and a realm of love and a realm of happiness, and you step into that realm and you're able to go back, you're able to go back to that realm of darkness that you were in, and you're that spark, and it takes one person. And you, next thing you know, you're giving your testimony. That's where your testimony comes in. I was once in this dark place, but now I was found. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once hurting, but now I don't feel no pain no more. Let me tell you who done it. It was a man named Jesus. Now come back here and follow with me. And once at that very moment you do that, now you're having a testimony. Here's the thing about the devil. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. But one thing he wants to steal your testimony. Because if he can steal your testimony, he can steal you from speaking the word of God into somebody else. Understand something. Sometimes the only Bible that somebody's going to read is you. So when you go back, the word of God, the spirit of the living God is living in you. Think about this. You're in this dark place. You're in a place of death. You're in a place where God is hated. Now you stepped out. Because here's the thing. There's no freedom. There's no freedom in a place of darkness. You can't see. Cut the lights off in here. You can't see nothing. There's no freedom in a place of darkness. You step out. Your eyes are open. Your ears are open. You can see again. You can hear again. Now the enemy's scared because now you're about to go back and tell the truth of the lies that's going on over here. So the enemy is trying to keep you over here because he don't want you to go back and have a testimony, because if he can steal your testimony, he can keep as many people from hearing the love of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the freedom of Jesus. And here's the thing about following Jesus. Some days you're going to have some bad days. Sometimes it's going to feel like you have more bad days than good days. I ain't going to lie. It's part of it. Guess what that's called? Life. But here's the kicker. How you go through life, being a Christian, being a believer, is what separates you from somebody that's going through life that's hostile to God. So when I'm going through life, think about this. Think about going through life and you got an issue, but the spirit of the living God is dwelling in you. You just go through life a whole lot different. You go through life a whole lot different when you know the spirit of the living God, the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, conquered death, defeated the grave, is dwelling within me. I don't care what I'm going through at that point. Because here's the thing, life is not about running from things to a dark place. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to run from it to go through the dark place. The thing about life is Jesus wants you to go through it and defeat the darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Their rod and staff is with me. Is that not Bible? Is that not in the scriptures? At some point in time, I had to start to realize that the word of God is powerful than a double-edged sword. It cuts through bone marrow. It cuts through all of these things. Why not use it? Why not use it? Why not use the things of the word of God to defeat? These same things is what Jesus used to defeat death. And he says, I'm giving them to you. I'm going to dwell within you. And you can do even greater things than these as long as your mind is governed by the Spirit. So many times, I believe we get in these dark places and we believe it's the end. We have small problems. These children just came from the Dominican Republic, and I heard somebody say that I realize how much I have based on what they have, and I want to feel the love that they have. A lot of times here in good old Mayberry, Maryville, Tennessee, we get in these dark places, but we don't realize how blessed we really are. And we get in a dark place, and the enemy puts in our mind, and we step into a realm, and we step into this realm, another kingdom, in that kingdom, in that dominion, it has to be a ruler, and we start believing the lies of Satan, and we like, and we fall for the okie doke. And then we think we get so deep, and Jesus is like, no, think about this. I want to dwell within you. I want you to be able to go back to that dark place and defeat that place that's hostile to God, because you can, because guess what? I've already defeated it. I've already defeated death in the grave. So all you got to do is go back and let your light shine. There's two things that's got to happen when you go back after you get out that darkness. There's two things that's got to happen. Those demons, that spirit that's over there, they got to do two things. They got to either submit or they got to run. No other way around it. Too powerful. God is too powerful. Got to submit, got to run. So now, we got a lot of stuff going on in Blount County. We got a lot of stuff going on in the world. But now we got a lot more stuff going on in good old East Tennessee. Would the real church stand up? Would the real church stand up and say, you know what? The only way to defeat this is come with the Spirit of the living God dwelling in me and defeat this realm that's hostile to God. We go across the world and we step into these realms and people get saved. Now it's time to go across the street. Now it's time to go to your neighbor. Now it's time to go to the police officers and pray over them. Now it's time to go to the people that are hostile to the police officers and pray over them. It's some people that's in the dark places right now, and they don't realize that all they got to do is turn around, and the love of Jesus is right here. And God has put it on us, the church, to show them that light, that peace, that love, that joy, that patience. The band can come up, because I don't know how long I've been up here. But when I was reading these scriptures, and I was like, wow, how many times do I read these scriptures and try to get so deep that I confuse myself sometimes? How many times do I read these scriptures And I find myself in a place where it's like, whoa, wait a minute. The love of Jesus is right here. Wait a minute. The love of Jesus is dwelling in me? Wow. Why, I can do even greater things than these. That's what the scripture says. Wow. He wants to, my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit. Wow. This is, sometimes I just got to turn, just read it like a Dr. Seuss book and let Jesus speak to me. Then I realized a mind that's governed by the flesh is death. When death occurs, something has to change. But when life occurs, something has to change as well. The prodigal son came to his senses, and the father seen that his son was once dead, but now he's alive. When we live a life that's not according to the will of God, Jesus is looking at us. And he's just waiting us to come alive again. Think about that. He's waiting for us just to come alive again. And all we got to do is take one step. I don't care how far in the dark place you may think you are. I don't care how far Don't give up on anybody in your family. I don't care. They may seem like they're in this darkest of the dark places, but they're only one step from stepping to the light. One step. The enemy wants to take your testimony, because guess what? There's also a scripture in here that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So that means that the enemy has a special weapon formed just to take you out. But the love of Jesus says, ha ha, you can form all you want, but you can't take them. So when you walk around, you understand this weapon is formed against you, but it ain't gonna win. Step in with that. You might get hurt a little bit sometimes, but check this out. When you go back to those hostile places, sometimes you're just going to plant a seed. Look at that picture over there. Imagine going to this dark place over here. Imagine if 100 of us went to a dark place and just planted one seed. The seed's got to bloom at some point. Plant a seed. Scripture tells us if we plant the seed, God gives the increase. Sometimes you just got to plant the seed and walk off. And then you can look back over and say, woo, I see a couple of roses over there. Where'd you come from? You know what? I came from that dark place you came a few weeks ago, and you said some things that made me think. So I decided to come to church. You know what? I heard you the other day at a restaurant. I seen you praying over your food at a restaurant, and then God just said something to me, and I just felt like I just needed to come to church. I needed prayer. 100 people go plant a seed somewhere. God gives the increase. If all of us went outside and there's nothing but dirt out there, and we all had a different seed to plant, 100 different flowers, imagine what it would look like in a month's time after sunshine and water hits it. There'd be a field of beautiful flowers because each person planted one seed. The Spirit of God is dwelling within us. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is within us. He's walking with us. He's talking with us. He will cry with us. He will love with us. He's going to pray with us. He's going to speak with us. He's going to ride in the car with us. Even when you sit on the toilet, he's in there with you too. That's that unconditional love that I just can't wrap my mind around it. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that a God loves me so much, even when I was transgressing against him, he never turned his back on me. Scripture says he's always willing. We the ones that turn our backs on God. God never turns his back on us. What realm are you in? And understand, no matter how far in darkness you've got, you're one step away from the light of Jesus and the freedom of Jesus. God bless you.